Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto 4, Chapter 21. Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. He's going to start instructing in this verse. Text 21.
Rajovacha
Sabhyashunuta Bhadramva Sadhavoya Ahagata Satsu Jigyasubir Dharmam Avedyam Svamanishitam Sadhyashunuta Bhadramva Sadhavoya Ahagata Satsu Jigyasubir Dharmam Avedyam Svamanishitam Raja Uvacha. The king began to speak. Sadyaha, addressing the ladies and gentlemen. Shrinuta, kindly hear. Bhadram, good fortune. Vaha, your. Sadavaha, all great souls. Ye, who? Iha, here. Agataha, present. Satsu, unto the noble men. Jigyasubihi, one who is inquisitive. Dharmam, religious principles. Avedyam, must be presented. Svamanishitam, concluded by someone. Translation. King Prithu said, O gentle members of the assembly, may all good fortune be upon you. May all of you, great souls, who have come to attend this meeting, kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive, that's him, must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. That's them. In purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word sadavaha, all great souls, is very significant. When a person is very great and famous, many unscrupulous persons become his enemies. For envy is the nature of materialists. In any meeting, there are different classes of men, and it is to be supposed, therefore, that because Prithu Maharaj was very great, he must have had several enemies present in the assembly, although they could not express themselves. Maharaj Prithu, however, was concerned with pious, with persons who were gentle. And therefore, he first addressed all the honest persons, not caring for the envious. He did not, however, present himself as a royal authority empowered to command everyone, for he wanted to present his statement in humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly persons. As a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders, but he was so humble, meek, and honest that he presented his statement for approval, in order to clarify his mature decision. Everyone within this material world is conditioned by the modes of material nature, and therefore has four defects. But although Prithu Maharaj was above all these, still, like an ordinary conditioned soul, he presented his statements to the great souls, sages, and saintly persons present there. So, Sadhya Shinuta Bhadramva Sadhavo. Ya ehagata satsu jigyasubir dharmam avedyam sva manishitam. King Prithu said, O gentle members of the assembly, May all good fortune be upon you. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. So this is largely this is a cultural an example of within the Bhagavatam. It's not exactly a teaching about sambandhagyan or understanding how all things connect with the Supreme. It's in a different category. Some of the verses are instructive about behavior or the culture of an advanced soul. You know, it's in sometimes then contrastingly the culture of an abominable person, so that we can understand the principles of how to have proper conduct. Just like yesterday evening, the Anaprashna ceremony, you weren't there, Chakri, there was Sri Jiva had his first grains, had that little ceremony, and we discussed Gopal Bhatta Goswami has written Sat Kriya Deepika, which is a book that describes the performance of various sangskaras, how it is done, the mantras connected with them, and so forth. Just as the Vedas have all kinds of elaborate descriptions of how to perform rituals, of course for a different purpose, karmakanda purpose, this is a Vaishnav, we were discussing, a Vaishnav practice, where these, instead of propitiating demigods, names of Vishnu are presented. Instead of invoking Ganesh to remove obstacles, names of pure devotees of the Lord are invoked, and so forth. So, a transcendental and fully spiritual objective is the fruit, and the intention and the fruit. So, those rituals, Gopal Bhatta Goswami identifies as subsidiary, or not the essence. So similarly, not exactly the same, but similarly, culture is not the essence of the message of the Bhagavatam, but it certainly displays the character of a qualified person. A qualified person is one who is embodying the essence, pure devotion to the personality of Godhead. But one who has such essence within themselves, within their hearts, they'll display certain norms of the behavior of a saintly person. And so that's what's happening here. It's a cultural matter to begin addressing the very exalted audience we heard yesterday, who was in that assembly, very exalted personalities, and he's addressing them in an appropriate fashion. So if ever you have to address demigods and great sages and exalted personalities, this verse gives us some indication. Now, the beginning is he's what sounds like he's giving them his blessings. All good fortune unto you. It's not like I'm up here, you're down there, and I give you my blessings of good fortune. Rather, it's he's looking to the Supreme Lord and say, you know, may the Supreme Lord shower his blessings upon you. That kind of speech. Sabya shunuta badram ba. All good fortune unto you. All auspiciousness, may that come into your lives. So maybe we could, for example, pray to the deity or to Krishna for someone who's, they don't have to be in an unfortunate or difficult situation, with just a well-wishing upon others. And we offer prayers to Krishna, please give your benedictions upon these very wonderful living entities, spirit souls, like that. Now it's certainly possible, differently culturally, where someone is in the position or accepted in the position of giving benedictions, and they're giving their benedictions, like Krishna gives benedictions. Oh, may all good fortune come to you. It's so that the position is different. Here, Prithu, although he's a Shaktivesh avatar, he's an empowered incarnation, he's taking the position, he's speaking from the position, you'll see as this speech or this imparting of his message goes on, he's taking the position of a humble servant of his constituents, the kingdom over which he's ruling. For example, he'll say, I want to thank you very much for performing all of your duties very nicely, because by so doing, 1/6 of all the merit that you will receive, I will receive as the king. So thank you very much. And so that's explaining a philosophical point, but I'm emphasizing here, he's taking the position of a humble servant of his constituents, the members of the kingdom, and also the visitors from other places like the heavenly planets that have also come. That's the that's him, that's King Prithu, while at the same time King Prithu as king not only exhibited the position of a very humble living entity, he was also a very, he could be confrontational. When the earth was not supplying to his satisfaction the necessities for the world, his constituents, his kingdom, he confronted Mother Earth. Said, you know, supply. Well, wait. I was restricting supply because the former king was this wicked personality and he was stopping all sacrifices. I'll gladly supply. Please calm down. So he could, a king can be, as appropriate, extremely humble and at the same time extremely powerful, and they're not contradictory characteristics. You know, worldly people can't do both. They can be, you know, very confrontational or very humble, but not both. He's a transcendentalist as appropriate for his audience. He's addressing sadhavo. He's addressing exalted personalities. So he's before them taking this humble position. Of course, in the assembly, it's not just all these elevated personalities, as we'll see. It's the citizens within his kingdom who have come for this assembly, as he calls it, a meeting, this gathering. But he's specifically, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, first he's addressing the most elevated, exalted persons within the audience, as is appropriate to do, etiquette-wise. You address the senior most, elevated, most superlative personalities, and in that same little purport, Prabhupada points out he's not addressing those who are also in the assembly who are envious. Doesn't say if he's going to address them or not, but he's speaking to the elevated souls, and the envious are not the ones being addressed. And it's also commented the envious really don't have a chance to spew their envy. But it should be understood, Prabhupada is helping us to be clear about this, when someone does become spiritually elevated, or even not spiritually elevated, materially elevated, in either case, there will be people who are envious because that's the nature of the place. Envy is there. Krishna indicates this in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where it says, this is a place of duality, and sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's night. Sometimes it's daytime. Sometimes it's wet. Sometimes it's dry. Sometimes there's happiness. Sometimes there's distress. Sometimes you're honored and sometimes you're dishonored. It's just the nature of the place. There's duality. So, and a transcendentalist isn't governed by, oh, now I'm being dishonored. Oh, now I'm being praised. Their position is fixed, that is, in service to the personality of Godhead. That's easier said than done. Sometimes circumstances can become very difficult. Very difficult. Very, very, very difficult. And it takes a person who is very sincere and transcendentally situated, or at least attached to trying to be transcendentally situated, where they're not reacting to either extreme, being praised or being dishonored. That gentleman that's coming to, was here on Sunday and came last night also, the imminent, remember that, Chakri? The gentleman that was sitting in the back here was saying, so Krishna is the imminent from whom all emanations come. Remember him?
I remember who it is.
The American gentleman?
Yes.
Were you here on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. He was seated right back there by the light switch. So he was at the program last night. So he came afterwards and a little discussion about on this topic. I forget that he got his Bible out and was reading the passage where blessed are those who are, people treat badly, I forget, are put into difficulty. Not circumstantially, but are maligned. Yeah, I forget the biblical translation, but blessed are those who are maligned because they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So if you don't retaliate in the face of adversity or the downside of duality, but rather you stay fixed in and even receive impetus to take shelter in the personality of Godhead and His service, that requires humility, it requires determination, it requires a deep sense of purpose. Krishna's help comes. And when Krishna's help comes, one gets lifted. This was our little side discussion last night. I forget how we got into that. But same here. If so, he, Prithu, is being honored, and in turn he's honoring his citizens. Now what happens, what do you do when you get honored? You feel good. But a transcendentalist isn't feeling good versus feeling bad, because the dishonor is going to come and then you feel bad. But it's not like feel nothing either. That's impersonalism. But rather, the transcendentalist sees everything as a gift of God coming for one's purification or service, or both. So, he used this little metaphor. I think I'll share it with you. Just like an airplane, it's, to get the airplane to lift, you zoom down the runway. And as you're zooming down the runway, there's air resistance that's more than when you're not zooming down the runway. So that air resistance may look like, oh, that's a problem. But it's not a problem. It's by the angle and the design of the wings, it allows the plane to lift. Without that resistance, the plane doesn't lift. It should just keep going along the ground. So you have to address yourself to the adversities of life, or the being maligned or disrespected or whatever it is that happens sometimes, and stay fixed, not in the responding to duality, but in addressing Krishna and seeing the adversity as an opportunity to stay in the humble position, stay fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and responding to it, the adversity or difficulty or something, in the proper manner. It's an opportunity being sent to, this man's language was, to lift one to a higher position. The lifting is God's mercy. When he sees, oh, this nice devotee, they're just fixed in my devotion. Even when there's a strong wind coming at them, they're just fixed in my devotion. Let me help them. So that's the lifting factor. All of these things, duality, good and bad, and you know, honor, dishonor, all those things, they're arrangements of the, or they're sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here we are moving about planet Earth, trying to restore our Krishna consciousness. And if we have trust in Krishna and attachment to Krishna and his service, then whether it's this or that feature of duality, it can serve to bring us closer to Krishna if we regard it in the proper way, not just get caught up in duality. Anyway. Like the function that we did last night was the sanskara of a child moving from dependence upon the mother to their first independence of taking grain instead of being fed by the milk of their mother. So in general, when you're moving from this to that, on the one hand there's adventure, on the other hand it's unknown, and that uncertainty of the unknown, just like we're trying to, in a big picture, move from affinity for matter, for detachment from matter, and affinity for Krishna. So that the transition to go from one to something known to something not yet fully known, it has its awkward moments, or its, you know, sense of unsurety or lack of certainty or like that, hesitation. A spiritual position is boldly move forward, recognizing Krishna is there, and you're moving toward Krishna, and it's nice. Although, you know, that discomfort isn't bad. It's a sign you're doing well. Keep moving. Move away from the affinity for matter position and being caught up into the complexity of material existence towards the purity of spiritual reality. And it's not familiar territory for us. We're very familiar with the other one. But continue boldly and courageously taking shelter of Krishna. So then another cultural point that's being presented, aside from he's addressing the sadhus and not the envious, and he's moving forward, speaking with them, is the cultural point of one, a sincere person, or jigyasubir, sincerely inquisitive person, sincerely inquisitive person, indicating one who wants to know truth with a capital T, the absolute truth, search for truth in Bhaktisiddhanta's language. He wrote a whole book made up of a series of essays called Search for Truth. Very classically powerful writing of Bhaktisiddhanta. Someone who is searching for truth, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, generally we're conditioned souls. And even if one has good guidance, then such a person needs to seek confirmation from the sadhus. And that's what the second half of this verse is. Satsa jigyasubir dharmam avedyam svamanishitam. I have reached some conclusions from my inquisitiveness, which I would like to present before you for verification, essentially. Now, as Prabhupada points out, Prithu Maharaj is not a conditioned soul with four defects. He's speaking as if he is. He's conducting himself as if he is for our edification. This is what a great soul does. They act for the benefit of others. So he's taking the position as if he's a conditioned soul, although he's not. And this is what conditioned souls, even they may be kings. And he wasn't like a small king, he was king of the whole planet. But he's placing before particularly the sadhus, the very most exalted personalities, these are conclusions that I have reached from my inquisitiveness, and I'm looking for verification from you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary speaks like this precisely. It's not like he's taking a vote, but he's open to express, these are the understandings I have, you are all very exalted persons, if there are corrections that are needed, please indicate. So I'm not aloof, I'm not independent, I'm not, specifically, because I'm the king, I don't have to do like this, I can just give you all orders because I'm the king. But he's not taking that position, he doesn't want to take that position, although he has the right to take that position. Rather, he is addressing the sadhus, the most elevated personalities, presenting his conclusions and seeking edification or verification from them. And this is the conduct of a great king or a great person. It's instructive on how do we interact as we're going through developing our Krishna consciousness, awakening our dormant love for Krishna. We all get this idea or that idea about something or a bunch of somethings. And it's not unique to ISKCON, or it's not unique to this period of history. It's, the Kali Yuga period of history. This is Satya Yuga. And he's exhibiting the conduct, the cultural behavior of a truly saintly person. How do they handle their conclusions about dharma? What is to be done? What is not to be done? And the purpose of what is to be done. This is a nice cultural point. How do we conduct ourselves and the association of others who are similarly devotees. And it may be one is a, as in this case, Prithu, great king, you know, very respected person. Even he's a very respected person, he's conducting himself this way, so what to speak of ourselves. And the converse is a problem. Meaning, if someone loses the sense of being, it's important to receive the confirmation of one's position from other elevated souls. I'm thinking at the moment of a particular point in history. Chakra, we remember this particular point in history where one of Prabhupada's disciples, Kirtanananda, was bearing off the center of the road, heading for the ditch. And he had a person, Satsarup Maharaj, was close to him in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, because they joined together at 22nd Avenue and had, you know, close bonding relationships with one another, and then their lives unfolded in different ways over time. So Satsarup Maharaj was deputed to go speak with Kirtananda and ask him a bunch of questions, and one of them I heard from Satsarup Maharaj was, supposing you have an idea and everybody else has a different idea, how would you respond to that? And his answer was, well, they're wrong and I'm right. So we could understand that the conversation need not go further. He's not going to be protected by, but is proud of whatever it is that he feels he has. And the tendency for pride is there in every conditioned soul. And this system that's being presented here is protection. In one sense it's cultural, in another sense it's Krishna's protection. Krishna's protecting through the agency of especially exalted spiritual personalities. Sadavoya Yahagata. So whether one is king of the world, or whether one is in a brahminical or kshatriya position, this is an important position to take. He's teaching us this by his example. Very nice. Any comments, questions?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this is today is a very nice
decision. Sure. Bhagavatam is a very nice book. Filled with so many nice things.
Especially with this. Because yesterday after the verse, I was just thinking, what if Prithu doesn't have enemies? And, I was just thinking on after the yesterday verse. So,
okay.
Yesterday verse, it was like that.
And here it is.
Yes, talking about enemies assembled in the.
Okay.
So, it was very interesting how he, presented himself and it explains very nicely and you explained very nicely. My question regarding that is, so he's very humble and he's presenting what his statements to the assembly.
Yeah.
But if the envious person or anybody who dislike it, since he is humble and soft, if they bring something like in a very rude way or something opposing, so how he would tackle it?
It depends on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Read, as a for example, read how Krishna conducted himself and Yudhisthira Maharaj conducted themselves in dealings with Duryodhana. When Krishna comes to the assembly and makes his presentation, how did Krishna speak? And when Duryodhana did the Duryodhana program, how did Krishna respond? And it's not, that's just one example. So, but to understand how to, which is your question, when somebody does something that's inimical or harsh, or they're different, depending upon the circumstance.
I would like to just ask for it. Like that, something happened. Like what happened is, you know, for some situations you have to take actions immediately. Like depending on this situation and circumstance.
Okay.
I need a time frame. So because of that, you suddenly have to take some decisions and make things go around, to work around, and then you cannot satisfy all the devotees. So what happens is, like, sometimes any one of the devotees get, you know, some, like, unknowingly or knowingly, but it's being taken care of their situation. So it's been rearranged how to take care of that devotee care too. But still, if we explain them, like after, you know, when we get a chance to talk to them, and this is what happened, so we have to rearrange them suddenly because we have a less time frame, so it's like this. But still, if the devotee is not happy, and if they say, like, oh, I'm upset or something like that, but even if they explain them with the situations and, you know, all that. So in that situation, how to react? I mean, for me, I took it like, okay, that's... I didn't take it offended, or I didn't take it either this way, but I just thought, like, okay, this is how I have to frame and do work for that. So I did it. So how we...
I got the picture, and I have, I guess, many things can be said, but I'll say two of those many things. One is broad, then another specific. The broad is training and education on that which nurtures bhakti is necessary. High-level focus or attention should be given to that for any community, because such scenarios will always arise, and when knowing that such scenarios will always arise, what is to be done, which is what your question is. And my broad response is training and education on Vaishnava principles and focus upon awakening one's dormant Krishna consciousness, what can give the purity and the strength for the community in general to rise above petty things. You know, when it's dark, there's fearfulness, and, you know, a little light looks like a big light, but when it's daytime, like the firefly, it's insignificant. So the awakening of and restoring of the Krishna conscious nature of a community is the best antidote for stuff like this. It just becomes insignificant. Then, you know, more specific response. I'll go back to the first one. You and others who are, you know, here and not here, participate in those activities that are elevating to the consciousness of, you know, the community in general. Not, you know, I'll do this so it's good for them, but I'll do this so it's good for us, and starting with me. So I don't become, you know, unknowingly the cause of another person's unhappiness because of the same problem. I have my limitations and my impurities and my coverings. Let me become free from those by awakening of Krishna consciousness, kind of thing. And if the community is going to be stronger if the members have that spirit. So the specific um, one has to continue going toward Krishna. So if you at least in our goal, or the person who we are to please, is Krishna. So considering the situation, if you have, or if any one of us, if we have acted in a conscientious manner, thinking what will be pleasing to Krishna, what will be pleasing to Guru and Krishna, am I doing that? Is there something additional I can do? So you just stay with that principle, not that my mission is to please everybody, because that's never going to happen. And then, so now, is somebody, I know that this particular somebody, I've done X and Y and Z, but this particular somebody is still displeased, and they're specifically displeased with me. So what should I do? As you said, you're not going over this way or that way, but what should you do? How should I process that situation? Continue as best as your purity permits and your spiritual strength permits to exemplify ideal character specific to that person. Continue in your ongoing dealings with that person. Even they may, you know that they're feeling upset with you or whatever it is, not happy with you. Continue to exhibit the character of a saintly person in your exchanges with that person. Consistently do that. And you can, from time to time, perhaps you can appeal once again for a clarity of understanding between yourselves, or pray to Krishna that Krishna within their heart can help them understand. Pray to Krishna that maybe there's something that I'm missing about my own conduct or speech that I need to attend to. Krishna, please make me aware of that. Help me. Like that. So it's moving towards Krishna spirit positively is the essence behind each of those. What do I do? Take the help of some, a village elder, a senior person who can perhaps understand you and help the other person understand you. Maybe the other person can help you understand yourself better than you think you understand yourself. How is it that what I do rubs people the wrong way? Can I be doing things in a different way? So it may not be intent, it may just be, an idiosyncrasy of behavior that rubs people this person the wrong way. So then I can tune into, they can't be an actress and you keep putting on different costumes that aren't you. You have to be you. But, help get some understanding with the other person where I'm looking to pleasing you as a Vaishnava, because that's pleasing to Guru and Krishna. And I have my nature and how, so that's, and when Brajabihari comes, sit down with him and try to work it out. That's another option. But, the spirit of it is not just getting rid of a problem, but it's, the essence. What it will be pleasing to Guru and Krishna. And those are the ones that I'm to please. So how can I best do that? And stay on that, with that spirit. And then the choices can be many. But each one of them is not protecting one's backside, but or your reputation or something, but pleasing Krishna. Yeah. I'm going to see if there's some other hands over here, because she's got another one. Anything else? Anyone? Okay.
Yesterday somebody asked me about...
It's a good thing you come to class, because otherwise you'd just be silence afterwards. Go ahead.
they just asked me, we
after class yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, we do yajna for Bhagavan installation and all the sanskaras.
Yes.
So what if we do the same thing for all those? I mean, it looked like that. They asked me.
Yeah, standard.
So I just responded them like the basic mantras are the standard, yeah. And a little bit, you know, the end differs with the, what we are doing if it is Srimad Bhagavatam or with the yesterday we did that. And the
Prashna.
So it may a little differ with the ending or
the... Well, the beginning, not just the ending. The whole, all that procedure that he had done in the beginning.
Okay.
There were mantras and you saw the little... So, that there's ritual involved that we're not going to do tonight, it's different. But there's the core, and then there's, depending upon the circumstance.
But mantras is like the same?
No.
The difference?
Yes. What the mantras, before we chanted Brahma Samhita and Mangala Charana,
mm-hmm.
is not going to be tonight. It's on a prashna specific. It's specific from Sat Kriya Deepika. That's what he did. The mantras directly were taken from there. He didn't invent them. They're taken directly from that text. And the procedures and what the priest should do and what the parent should do, what the child should do. He just followed. And that's not tonight. Okay? Go ahead. You got another one?
Yeah, just last one.
Okay.
So, I was just wondering... For a girl child, I mean for the child. So when the child takes birth, we do samskara.
Yeah. Before birth, before conception.
Before birth, and then I'm taking that child as a girl child, and then we do the sannaprashna, and then each stage,
okay.
And then when they get married, there's a samskara.
Yeah.
And then after, when they want to go for the baby, there's a samskara, and then after the baby, like all the it falls. But for the girl child, there is a stage before the going to puberty stage. So in that stage, there is no samskara.
I don't know. There are principal ones, and there's nine, like we heard last night from our friend, because he looked it up on Google probably. But there's other longer lists. There's 25. So I'm not. This is not an area that I'm particularly familiar with.
No, not for the Vaishnavas, we are not following that particular
thing. We follow Sat Kriya Deepika. And there's the list is nine. There are other lists and other Vaishnava traditions that I'm aware of that may have more. And there's some that are not Vaishnava traditions that may have more. No, the answer to your question is I don't know. But there are nine principal ones that we follow.
The nine principal ones, so this thing.
You want? I'll send you the file, and it has the list. Is that good? And what you mentioned is not in that list. But is there a Vaishnava procedure? I don't know.
Yeah, because my question is, since you say samskara is like the soul passage from...
I understand where your question is coming from. And the answer is, we have nine that we follow, and that's not one of them. Are there others within Vaishnava tradition for what you mentioned? I don't know. And I understand why you're asking the question. It's a transition position, not only for girls, for boys too.
Yeah.
You know, it manifests itself differently, but it's a transition from this to that. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki. Time.